Zechariah chapter 3, look in verse 1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again for the opportunity and that to stand and preach just one more time. I pray that you would help us, give us a touch and that from heaven and anoint us afresh this morning. God, you know the needs that is in here. And Lord, there's folk fighting today. And some of them no doubt feel like they're fighting for their life. And that this is going to be the last battle. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them to see this ain't it as long as they don't quit and give in. And Lord, I pray you'd help the one that might be lost, unsaved. I pray that you would touch them and help them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ today to trust you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray the songs that's been sung have uplifted your name. And Lord, we're so glad to have everybody with us this morning. But help those that are sick and unwell today. And we'll give the glory for it all. Help us to realize the importance of preaching today. And we'll thank you again for Calvary. Save that sinner nearest hell. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. You'll be seated this morning. As we look in Zechariah chapter 3, and as Joshua, who is the high priest. Now, let me say this, that if you look at the first part of the Old Testament, you'll find a man by the name of Joshua there. And he was Moses' successor. And he's the one that took the children of Israel and that into the promised land and helped them battle and take that promised land that God had gave them. And so we find that that name Joshua means a savior or deliverer. You realize that that is the Hebrew name and that for the Lord Jesus Christ in the Greek. You know that Jesus means the exact same thing. It means savior or deliverer. And that's what Joshua means. And so you find that the first Joshua is a deliverer and that of God's people. And you find that the Joshua right here in Zechariah chapter 3 is the high priest. And let me say today that Jesus is our high priest. Amen. And not only is he our deliverer, and I'm glad and that today to be delivered and that from sin and from Satan and from hell. But friend, I'm glad he's my high priest this morning. And you'll find that Jesus can be yours if you'll come to him. But as we look right here, we find that Joshua was doing his job. And in the latter part of the verse 1, you'll find that Satan was standing at his right hand. That's the place where he was working. And the Bible said to resist him. And I want to preach this morning having a thought on when Satan attacks. Now, Satan is mean today. You'd have to say amen right there. He's nothing more than, I mean, he's just mean. He's low down. He's sorry. But friend, he has no compassion. And he will kick you while you're down. You need to understand that if you're saved, you have an enemy that wants to get the better of you, and he'll try his best. Now listen, the Bible calls him Satan, calls him the devil, calls him that old serpent in Revelation chapter 20, and calls him the dragon. Sometimes we'll call him old Slewfoot, but friend, I'm going to tell you, he's your enemy today, and he wants to destroy you. Listen, he possesses people. He wants to get inside of homes. He wants to get inside of families. He wants to get inside of churches. He's in this nation. And he's doing everything to tear everything apart before the Lord Jesus comes back. Amen. And listen, he is after you today. Do you believe that? Say amen. Do you believe it? Amen. I believe the devil is trying his best not only to destroy this church, not only to destroy me, but friend, he's trying to destroy you if he could today. Amen. And so I want to look at some things about when Satan attacks. Now let me say this real quick. Do you know that he can fill your heart, even if you're saved today, with wrong things? Do you know that? You can go over and you can look in Acts chapter 5 and you'll find Ananias and Sapphira over there. And he said, now, look, Sapphira, he said, oh, we're going to sell this property for so much, but we're going to tell the disciples that we sold it for this. And this is what we're going to give. In Acts chapter 5, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the lamb? So don't think that Satan cannot affect you today. And do not think that he can put things in your heart. But you need to understand today that you have an enemy. What was it? 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil has a roaring lion all about seeking whom he may devour. Listen today, and I'm sure I'll make mention of this again while I'm preaching. I looked it up just to make sure today. You know how far you can hear a lion roar? 5 miles. That's a long way, ain't it? 5 miles. And you can hear him roar 5 miles off. And he's slick, and you know the lion, you know, he has padded feet. You know why he has padded feet? So he can sneak up on you. I mean, listen, we got a cat in the house. And she's got padded feet. Man, she's meaner than the devil, ain't she? My wife would say that she's possessed with the devil. Amen. And I would say that, I would dare say that, listen, that she is my wife's adversary. Amen. That cat is my wife's adversary. She hides and waits on my wife some days and reaches out and just smacks her on the bottom of the leg. Has him padded feet though. And you know, if our cat wanted to come through the house and not be heard, we wouldn't hear her. I turned around and looked, and she's been standing beside me, and I didn't even know she's there. Why? She snuck up on me. But you know, that lion can come through the jungle and all that land, and he can sneak up on you. And listen, there's pockets down on the inside of that lion, a friend that holds old rotten meat. And after he's ate, and if he don't groom himself, he can reach out and swipe at somebody else, and that infection will set up in somebody else. Now, you better be careful when the devil scratches you, because it'll start to set up infection on you if you ain't careful. Bible said to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, you do have somebody against you as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. That word attack, now listen, when Satan attacks, that word attack means to assault, to fall upon with force, or as force and arms. And so he comes, and that to destroy. I want you to understand that this morning. As you look in your life, and you may be under, and I'm going to be honest with you, if you decide to serve God, and that's my first point this morning, when you serve God and you sell out to God, He's going to be there to attack. You need to get that in your mind this morning. A lot of people think, well, I've decided to serve God. Everything's going to be, you know, you get saved and you begin to grow in the knowledge and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. And all of a sudden you just say, well, I'm going to sell out 100%. I'm going to sell out my family to God. I'm going to sell out my time, my job. I'm going to sell it all out to God. And then all of a sudden, guess who shows up? The enemy does. Do you know that if you're not serving God, He's not going to bother you? Amen? I mean, He's not going to bother you. Hey, listen, when you make your mind up, now notice where Joshua was in the text verse. He was standing before the angel of the Lord. He was doing the job that he was supposed to be doing. You know, when we do what we're supposed to do for the Lord, Satan shows up. Now, I know our flesh gets tired. A lot of you got out of bed this morning, and you said, boy, this morning's Sunday. I don't know why you can get out of bed through the week, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and say, I've got to go to work, get up and be at work by 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. But yet, when Sunday school starts at 10 o'clock, we all have trouble getting here. I ain't figured that out yet. I mean, I've just been out. We're the same way. I thought I was going to have to drive to get here this morning, my separate. And the clock was just fast in the house. I mean, that's a good thing. Amen. I looked at the clock. I told my wife, I said, well, I'm going to have to leave you here and go on. And then when I got downstairs, that clock that I was looking at upstairs, it was just fast.
But we struggle. Why is that? One is because our flesh says we've got time to do this. But another is Satan is bombarding on us. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Am I making sense to you this morning? I hope so. We're just getting started. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. He said, well, preacher, I know that I've got an adversary. I understand you know that. But you need to understand that he does want to destroy you. I mean, he wants to hinder the work of God. And you do have a work of God in your life, don't you? Some of you are sitting here not this morning. I know that you're just getting by in serving God. You're doing as least as you can. But let me encourage you to do what you need to do for God. If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 18, King Jehoshaphat, he has been in a battle. Him and King Ahab has went out and fought the enemy. He like to got killed. King Ahab does get killed. The Bible said there in verse 33, how that a certain man drew a bow at a venture. You know what that means? He just drawed back like this. And he just let that arrow go up in there. Drew a bow back at a venture and let that thing go. And it happened to go right through King Ahab. Reckon God was directing his hand on that right there. But we find after Jehoshaphat comes back in chapter 19, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is the wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Now listen, he had no business going down there with King Ahab. Do you realize that it does matter? It does matter who you associate with. It does matter who you do business with. It does matter about those things. He had no business being down there with King Ahab. And the Lord told him so much. He said, look, the wrath of God is going to be upon you. But look in verse 3. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee. And then that thou hast taken away the groves of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. He said, Jehoshaphat, you want to find God. You've made a mistake. We all make mistakes, don't we? He said, you made a mistake. But he said, you have set your heart and that to find God. Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. So he begins to bring them back. He begins to tell them they need to serve God. He begins to do away with idol worship. He begins to do away with idolatry. And right here, if you read the rest of the chapter, you'll find out that he set judges in the land and began to set things right in the land of Judah and in the land of Jerusalem. Now let me tell you something. When you make up your mind, and you prepare your heart to find God, and you begin to judge some things in your life. Boy, we're going to get good here now, ain't we? You begin to judge some things. I can preach against what you're doing till I'm blue in the face. But until you judge things in your life, you're not going to change. I get on this a lot from time to time. Man, some when I smoke cigarettes, them preachers up at Lee's Chapel would wire me out. And I'd quit for a while and then I'd start for a while. And I'd quit for a while and I'd start. Why? Because they were judging my sin. But you know what? They were right. But until I judged that thing in my life, till I began to judge that thing, and God began to deal with my heart about that thing. Like I say, I can preach till I'm blue in the face about whatever you're doing or not doing that you ought to be doing. But friend, until God convicts your heart and deals with you about it, and then you say, hey, I'm going to do something about this, it ain't going to make no never mind. And that's what Jehoshaphat is doing right here. You know, I can tell you a lot of things. But until you get in the Word of God and say, yeah, boy, this is what God said. This is what God means. Yeah, God does want me to be separate from the world. Yeah, God does want me to separate. Yeah, God does want me to have different friends. I mean, what did he say in Romans 12, and when I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing, by the renewing of the Spirit, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. In other words, be separate. Ain't that right? Don't be the same. So he's judged
some things. He set some judges up in the land. You know what? Some dads, you need to judge some things that's going on in your home. You know, the Lord did set dads, did set husbands in the place of being the head of the house. And did set, according to Ephesians chapter 5, for the wife and for the mother to be submissive, and that to the head of the house and the children to be under her. Y'all know how I feel about that. Listen, he set those things up. That don't mean your wife is a doormat and a door rag and you're a slave. That ain't what that means. But it does mean for her to be submissive and for you to lead your house. So you need to judge some things that's going on in your house. Listen, I need to judge some things about what's going on in this church. Let me say this, men. If there's some things going on in this church that ain't right, you need to judge some things and say, hey, preacher, some things ain't right here. Do you realize that I don't know everything that's going on, even though that I act like it most of the time? Amen. I don't want y'all to get nothing on me now. Amen. I like to be on the up and up. I'll never forget y'all tried to give us a birthday. Y'all did get me a birthday party one time and I didn't know about it. But I remember the church was going to give us a surprise birthday party. Somehow I found out, and I'll never forget Alvin. Said, Brother Alvin, before he went on to be with the Lord, he said, man, we just can't get nothing on you, can we? Well, I try not to let you get nothing on me, that's for sure. But listen, he judged some things. He judged some things. Have you been judging some things in your life? You know, that don't belong there. And you say, man, I need to be doing better on this. I need to be reading my Bible. I need to be studying. He said, study so thyself approved unto God. Workman needs not to be ashamed, right? Divine word of truth. Need to pray. He said, pray without ceasing. We understand those things. Need to be faithful to church. Forsake not assembly set together as a matter of some is. You know all these things. So we judge ourselves on these things. So then what happens? He kicks out idolatry. He sets judges in the land and begins to make things right. So you judge things in your life. You judge things in your home. You judge things that you let your children do or not do. You need to do that. Amen. Somebody has to have rule and authority in your home, and it's not your children's place to set the rules, friend. Amen, preacher. It's good. It's not. You are to set the rules. They're looking for you to set the rules. They're looking for you to do that. They need somebody to set rules for them, friend, or they're going to go do whatever they want to do. I'll never forget this. Even as I got on up in age, And me and Kelly was engaged to get married. You know, we got married, we was 19 years old, and I was still living at home. And I was telling her the other day, I might come in a little late. You know, even when I was fixing to get married, I still had to be home at 11 o'clock. Why? Living by mom and daddy's rules. I was 19 years old, working a public job, fixing to get married. But the man said, be there by 11 o'clock. He meant be there by 11 o'clock. But sometimes it might be 10 after 11. Or quarter after 11. And I'd come easing in. I wasn't even quiet anymore, you know. I mean, fixing to get married. And he got to where he would go. And we had a chain on the lock, on the door, you know. One of them chain locks. And he would go, he would lock me out sometimes. Just so that I'd have to knock on the door. So he'd have to come let me. You know what? I was a little thinner back then. I mean, I was 100 pounds less. And I could stick my hand, I got to where I could stick my hand in that door and pull it all the way against my wrist, but I could flick that chain off and it would fall down and I'd walk on in and then I'd lock it behind me going to bed. But you know what, even if I'd done that, Daddy'd get up the next day and maybe after he'd come in from work, we'd be talking and he'd say, you come in a little late last night, didn't you? So he knew. So he wasn't going to let nothing get by, you know. He wanted me to know that he knew what was going on. You know what? The Lord knows what's going on. He knows. He knows what's going on in your life. He knew what was going on with King Joshua. He knew that some things was getting set right and wanted some things set right. But look in chapter 20. Joshua sets things right in the land of Judah and in the city of Jerusalem. Look in verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to what? To battle. So what happens? He sets everything right, and the enemy shows up. As soon as you set things right, and you want to do what's right, he's going to show up. He'll show up on the job. But, hey, you know what he'll do? He'll end up having you working overtime where you'll miss Wednesday night prayer service. Or he'll have you working where you can't come to church on Sunday. Amen. He'll start to try to weasel into your home and weasel into your life. And he'll just begin to work. He'll begin to give you adversary. Somehow he'll begin to drive a wedge between you and your wife or you and your husband. He'll try to begin to drive a wedge between you and your children to make your life hard. Boy, I gotta quit taking these glasses off. You know what he does? He sets out, and not only does he look for those that have made their mind up to serve God, but he looks for those that have become weak in the battle. If you study anything about a lion or any type of cat, you'll find that, first of all, they like to watch the watering hole, don't they? What do you call this place here? Well, it's the watering hole. It's where you come and get refreshed at, ain't it? But you know who he'll go after first? And how that lion knows this, I don't know, but he'll go after that one that is weak or the one that is injured first. Every time. Can I ask you something this morning? I know some of you's story. Well, some of you sitting in here have been hurt in church. You've been hurt because of church or because of church people or something that has taken place. And to be honest with you, I've never had church people hurt me. I've probably had folks say things about me that I may or may not know, but I've not let it hurt me. But you know, there is something that when somebody that you love so dearly says something or does something against you, it'll cut you. And it will begin to hurt you. And what happens then is the devil comes along, that old lion, old slewfoot, and he'll begin to attack you. And he'll try to take advantage of the situation. If you don't think so, let yourself get hurt and see what happens. I've watched folk quit church. Quit church. No folk to quit church because they got hurt in church. You say, well, there wasn't nothing to them. Hey, maybe there wasn't, but maybe there was something to them and they got hurt. And the adversaries got on top of them and began to try to kill them, friend. Why do you think that the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 6:2 to bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ? When we see somebody hurt, when we see somebody maimed, when we see somebody weak, our friend, we should do something about that. We should help them. You say, preacher, I can't do a whole lot. Put your arm around them. Tell them that you're praying for them. Pat them on the back and say, just hang in there. You say, well, preacher, that ain't going to do a whole lot. Listen, maybe they needed that for the day. Maybe they needed a friend. I say, and maybe you tell them this. Maybe you give them your telephone number and say, anytime you want to talk. I may not have anything to tell you. I forget who I was talking to the other day. And I can't remember who it was. But I told them they were just talking. And they said, I don't know what you're going to tell me or what you can't. I said, look, I may not have to tell you nothing. You just sit here and talk. I'll be a good listener. You know, sometimes that's all people need is for you to sit there and listen. They just need to tell somebody about what's going on in their life for where you might be able to help them. And sometimes when folk talk, you know what? That'll help them, friend. That'll help them. But listen, give them a telephone number and say, here, if you need to call me, you call me. And I'll try to be there. I'll try my best to listen. And listen, I want you to understand something. When you tell somebody that, then you make time for them. When they call, you make time for them. It don't matter what you're doing. You make time for them to sit down and listen out of what they have to say. Because I'm going to tell you, the enemy is attacking them. And there may come a day when you need them to listen to you. There may come a day when the enemy is attacking you so bad that, friend, you don't know which way's up. You don't know which way's down or sideways. He's just beating on you and won't let you alone. And he's trying to destroy you and your home and your family. I said, "Preacher, he don't bother me anymore." I said, "If he don't bother you, there's something wrong. If the enemy's not bothering you..." Now, I like it when the enemy's not bothering me much. Amen? But I'd get concerned if the enemy didn't bother me. A little bit. If he wasn't there a little bit, I'd get a little concerned. But what does he do? What does he do? What does the enemy do? Well, the Bible said right here in the text verse that he was there to resist him. He was there to stop him. Now, we understand that we have an enemy that wants to devour us and to chew us up. And let me say this real quick, that if we're not careful, we will give him direct access to us. And what I mean, it's just like David being somewhere where he didn't belong in 2 Samuel 11. He was over there on his rooftop, and he looked down and seen Bathsheba washing herself. He said, "Well, she shouldn't have been on top of her house. Maybe she shouldn't have been." But the Bible also said that it was a time when kings went forth to battle. David should have been in the battle instead of being at home. The Bible said that he got off his bed at eventide. I've always wondered, what was he doing in the bed till evening time? So you're giving David a hard time. Hey, listen, he was a man after God's own heart. He should have known better about some things. And a lot of times, we just give him an open door, talking about our adversary, to come in and try to destroy us. And by the way, he really does wait till we're weak. Matthew chapter 4, "Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him," when the tempter showed, we know, according, I believe it's to the book of Luke, that he had temptation through that whole 40 days. But after that 40 days, after, the Bible said he was hungered, and then the tempter came. Hey, listen, in our weakest moments, in our weakest time, Satan is going to show up. I'm telling you, man, that's why you don't let you girls and boys off in a car together. You say, "Well, they're strong Christians." Get in a moment of weakness, you don't know what's going to happen, friend. He's slick, ain't he? The Bible said in Genesis 3, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made." You know what that word subtle means? Sly or cunning or crafty. Or deceitful. He lies, don't he? Now talk about, what does he do? He lies. The devil lies. I've yet to ever find him tell the truth. He might tell a half a truth, but he'll always tell a lie. Take the Bible and go to Genesis chapter 3. First mention of him in the Bible, we see him over here in Genesis 3 dealing with Eve. Now Eve starts a conversation with him, or talks to him. Let me say that. She talks to him. One of the worst things you can ever do is have a conversation with the devil. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you ain't very careful, he will win that conversation. Genesis chapter 3, "Now the serpent was more subtle than the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said." The very first thing. Hath God said. He always wants you to doubt what God said. I always want you to doubt what God had to say. I was listening to the preacher this morning. This is Brother Ted. He said American Standard make good toilets. They just don't make good Bibles. Amen. Y'all catch on to that after a while. Listen, if you got something else besides the King James Bible, you need to get shed of that thing. Amen? And get a good King James Bible. But listen, he said, "Yea, hath God said." You know what? Even if you're carrying the King James Bible, he'll make you want to disbelieve what it says. Oh, did God really mean what he said right there? You know, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Of course he meant that. You remember that, don't you, Hunter? Okay. Jeremiah was preaching up here one Sunday night. He got over on that scripture. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. And him and Bethany wasn't married yet. And he had his arm up around her and touching her shoulder up there. And my wife was sitting behind him and said, "You ought to watch him when he preached that." Man, that hand come off her as quick as it could. At least he was listening. Amen, brother. Amen. but he's slick, ain't he? So he'll say, yea, hath God said. He'll make you want to doubt what God has to say. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, there was the first problem. She starts a conversation or continues in a conversation with the devil. We may eat of every fruit of the trees of the garden, of the fruit of every tree of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, and God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, if you go back and look in verse 17 of chapter 2, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Who are you going to believe, God or the devil? God has said, thou shalt surely die. The devil says, you won't die. He says, ye shall not surely die. God says, thou shalt surely die. The devil says, thou shalt not surely die. Who are you going to believe? You better believe God. You better believe God's word. Because it's true and we know what happens. Eve takes of the fruit, gives to Adam. She was deceived into it. Adam took of it freely. And boy, there's a lot there to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. He took our sin freely because of us this morning. But he's subtle how he works. He's slick. He will tempt you to quit. He will tempt you to sin. Right? The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Do you know what he's talking about right there in the text, inside the context? Forgiveness. If you read the prior verse, he said, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. He'll have you holding a grudge and growing bitter. Well, he'll destroy you that way too. I think Brother Larry preached on that here three or 4 weeks ago. He preached on getting bitter. He preached on forgiveness, but he preached on getting, but you know, the book of Hebrews talks about that root of bitterness. Lest that root of bitterness springing up, which defiles us. We get a root of bitterness in us. Won't forgive somebody. But Satan begins in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He begins to just lob them darts at us, don't he? Boy, an issue here, an issue there. Trying to work in. Trying to work into our home. Trying to work into our church. Trying to get into my job. Just trying to get into my mind. I hate my mind. Hate my mind. Sometimes I feel so close to the Lord. And then other days I feel so far removed from Him. And I don't understand that. And I hate it when Satan jumps up here in my mind and begins to affect it and begins to work on it. And I told the Lord the other day, and man, we've been going around and around. I've told you we've been going around and around. Me and Satan have been going around for a while. And I told my wife, I said, he sent me some help this morning while I was studying. He sent some help. And I love it when I pray for help. And help shows up. I like that. One, I know that he's listening. And two, I know that he heard me. And three, I got the help out of it. Now, if you ain't ever been in a place where you've needed help spiritually, then good for you, and I hope you don't ever get there. But there comes some times, if you're going to serve God, your enemy, your adversary is going to be so far against you, you're just going to need some help. You need to understand what he's up to. Number three, what are we to do? Well, you need to realize he's after you. What was it he said? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as well. He wants to take you apart. That's what that sifting is about. But James 4 and 7 said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So make sure you're serving God. Get submitted and that to the Lord. Now take your Bible and go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. I'm talking about what do you do when the enemy shows up? What do you do? Ephesians chapter 6. Look in verse 10. We're going to talk about the whole armor of God here for a minute. Talking about battling. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Let me back up. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Well, that's where our strength falls and comes from, ain't it? In the Lord. David ran out there about 17, 18 years old. Had a sling in one hand, 5 stones in a shepherd's scrip, a staff in another hand. Well, he's got one in the sling, 4 in a shepherd's bag. And he's slinging that thing around. And Goliath is telling him, I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air, boy. And he says, no. He said, I'm coming to you. He said, the battle's not mine, but it's the Lord. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, in whose army you defy. So he knew whose strength he was going in, and in the power of his might. So you need to understand, when we fight, and that the enemy, that we're fighting in the power and the might of God if we're going to win. He said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That wily coyote, I mean, he's just slick, just like what we talked about there a few minutes ago. He's deceitful. He's cunning. Listen, against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against the spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand at the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now here's what he does. He tells us how. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we put on the armor. We get ready to fight. Realize that we got to fight, but we put on the armor. We get our loins girt about with the truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Well, I tell you, His righteousness. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That's a peace. That's what ought to make us want to go, is to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Well, I mean, to have on the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace. That's what ought to drive us, is to see sinners get saved. I listen to encourage folk, and that to return to Him. But they need to come, and that repentance, trust in Christ Jesus the Lord. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, now, when He said above all, He meant above all. Well, you better have some faith about you. You better be able to believe God. You better be able to trust God. He said, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When He's throwing at you, and you think He's going to defeat you, you need to be able to throw that shield of faith up and just let them bounce off of you. And then you reach in, you know you've got your helmet of salvation on, and you know you're saved. That's what's keeping our mind and our heart in Christ Jesus. And then, finally, we draw out the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. What did Jesus do? Satan met Him up there on the mountain, or out in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said 3 different times, after Satan come to Him 3 different times, and He said, as it is written. You'll never defeat Satan. You'll never win without the Word of God. You can hold up a shield of faith all you want to, friend. And you need to, and you should. But He's going to keep beating on you. And you're going to have to draw out that sword. And you're going to have to start cutting. Get prepared to fight. And a lot of people don't even count this as part of the armor of God. But He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. If I couldn't pray, I don't know what I'd do. I guess I'd go crazy. When I go to fight, hey, every day I get up. I think sometimes we get in the shape that we're in sometimes just so that God could draw Himself to us, or us to Himself, by prayer. When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you sought God in prayer? When it gets hard, preacher, what am I to do? Paul said, my grace, the Lord told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Why did He tell him that? Because the messenger of Satan had come to buffet him. That word buffet means to beat on. That's literally what it means, to beat on. You're going to serve God, He's going to beat on you.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, so our power comes in our weakness. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Preacher, I'm going under and I'm not coming up. Remember this, 1 Corinthians 10. There's no temptation taking you but such is common to man. But God is faithful. You need to remember that. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So we go back to the text verse. In Zechariah chapter 3. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing on his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. So the Lord's got to come. We stand. We put on the whole armor of God. And we fight. But the Lord has to come and rebuke him. David went in faith. David went with what he knew he could win the battle with. But do you think David was so accurate with that stone that he hit that giant in the one place that that giant had no protection at all? Read it. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and read that story. And all the chainmail and all the armor that Goliath was wearing, he had one spot open on his very body, and it was right here. Now you tell me David was that good. Maybe he was that good. But I got a feeling that God went... And the Bible said, by the way, when he hit him in the forehead, he fell down forward. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Somebody hits you in the forehead, you'll probably fall down backward. But that enemy fell down forward. When the enemy is against you, when he's against you, you do that this morning. You begin to seek God. Put on the whole armor. Let's bow our heads this morning, if we would. We won't have no music this morning. But listen. Listen, I'm going to give you time to come pray. Listen, we don't have to have music for you to come. But the devil's been beating on you. You say, he's using me for a punching bag, preacher. You can come up here and pray and get some help. And he'll do that, by the way. He'll use you as a punching bag as long as you'll let him. He'll use me as a punching bag. You say, he's trying to get into my family. He's trying to get between me and my husband, between me and my wife. He's trying to get between me and my children. Listen, you can come find some help this morning. God will give you strength. If you'll come. Anybody in the house? Listen, one thing the devil may be telling you today is that you've got plenty of time to get saved. Maybe you find, I'm not even dealt a whole lot with salvation this morning, but maybe you're lost and you've never been saved and you need to get saved. I'm telling you, the devil's jumped up on your shoulder and he's telling you that you've got all kinds of time. You don't need to get saved today. I wouldn't listen to him. I'd listen as the Holy Spirit knocks on my heart. As God tries to woo me, would you come today? If there's a need in the house, may not have anything to do that I preach with. If you need to come, I want you to come. We're going to be very silent right now. If you need to come, would you move?